What a great song that is. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Before we hear the reading of the scriptures, I need to set it up just a little bit. I hope your Thanksgiving went well. It was certainly a busy one for us, and I wonder what I did with my... this is just like me. I did a little research on Thanksgiving, and of course we all heard the stories of the pilgrims and the Mayflower. It was one of the leaders of that initial colony that sent some of his men out to get go on a, what's called a fowling hunt, a bird hunt, to bring back some food for the for that first colony. And the local Indians, Amaracs, were seeing that these poor white people were suffering, and so they brought 5 deer for that initial group. And it was sort of an annual thing, that season of Thanksgiving. But it wasn't until the Civil War when Abraham Lincoln, after he had given the Emancipation Proclamation, after Gettysburg, which there was a turn, obviously, in that war going on at the time, that... And many battles were still going on. Losses were horrendous. That in the middle of all those wars and that terrible war, that on October 24th, he said the next month, the third Tuesday, that that there would be a day when all Americans would sit down and celebrate and have to take the whole day to celebrate a spirit of Thanksgiving. And he did that during the depth of that Civil War. And of course it has become a tradition ever since then. Probably one of the least commercialized holidays that we celebrate during the year. So I hope your Thanksgiving went well. People, many of you have told me that you were with family and that you had a good time. Here's what I decided for our family a couple of 3 years ago. I could see that it was becoming wearing on Judy, and Judy doesn't do anything in moderation. When it comes to Thanksgiving, it's like $500, you know, for the whole deal. And I figured that if I took her to the finest restaurant in town, it would cost me maybe $100. And so that's what we did. And we actually brought her 2 sisters with us. So it cost me a couple $100. But it was a time of Thanksgiving where the family got together and a conversation happened. I want to review a couple things that have happened this week just to give you a picture of some of the things that are going on. You had Thanksgiving. You remember last Sunday we had the earthquake drill. You remember that? I got back 2 general comments. One comment was that even though you knew that the sound system would light up, about half of you were still startled by the realism of those sounds, and those were crafted by Paul, and thank you for doing that. The other half of you were very thankful that at least we've practiced. Now, hopefully that event won't happen, but if it does, at least we know what to do. Many of you were also at a funeral this last week, actually yesterday. Rhoda, what's your last name? Her son Terry is one of our ushers, and I understand the chapel was full, that Elder Darrell led that service, and I'm very thankful that he had that experience. That was his first funeral, and he's in a program to become what's called a commissioned lay pastor. And so I'm thankful that he had that that experience. You also remember last week we started a stewardship season, and we used also some, we did some teaching on the what the scriptures say about how to make money. And from the book of Proverbs, remember that if you have at least one of these three things, that you can make money and provide for yourself. Remember, there was a specialized resource. If you have a specialized resource, you can provide for yourself. If you have a specialized skill, you can provide for yourself and prosper. And if you have specialized knowledge, you can take care of yourself and really prosper. And the scriptures are very focused on that you really need a specialty in order to prosper. If you have just general knowledge and ordinary skills, well, there are a lot of people that fit in that category. And the wages, because of the supply of that kind of labor, is so abundant that the wages are depressed. And so the scriptures encourage and prompt people to go for specialties. Learn some go to education. Discipline yourself to submit to the process of gaining those kind of skills or resources or knowledge so that you can provide what people need and they will pay you handsomely for that. Well, today we're going to continue that theme of stewardship, and we're going to take on what I think is the toughest verse, perhaps one of the most inflammatory verses in the Bible that talks about money. And it comes from the book of Malachi. I'm going to have Elder Marilyn read it to you. And you may have noticed these boxes up front. We're going to use these boxes to help illustrate the sermon. Elder Marilyn, would you come and read the passage to us?
The scripture today is Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. And you may find it in your pew Bible on 1496. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In the tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. We are blessed to hear the reading of his word.
Thank you. Good job. Well, this idea of robbing God is pretty strong language. And yet, it's there. God, these are actually God speaking through the prophet Malachi. And when in the first reading, the plain reading of that passage, it would seem rather insulting. And but I want to share with you another perspective that I actually believe is the intent of this passage. These boxes represent 100% of the income, whatever income you have, represents 100%. Each box represents 10%. And we believe that God gives you and me the money you need to live and survive in your family. Now, as good Americans, we want more, don't we? Now, there's nothing wrong with that, actually. It's okay to be ambitious, and I hope that when you do have opportunities to righteously make money and make more, you know, go for it.
do it. But what the scriptures are intent to teach us is to be content with the amount of money that God does give to us. Now, it talks about the tithe, and usually, traditionally, that has meant 10%. God is saying, take 10% of your earnings and give it to God. Now, the fact is, God knows you need the 100%. I'm serious. God knows you need the full amount. But God does something that is only mentioned here and nowhere else, and we are forbidden to ever do such a thing outside of this comment that he makes. He says, test me. Test me. Now, we are forbidden from testing God in any matter, except in this, where he says, test me and see what happens when you take that box and you give away a portion, a generous portion of what you need, and see what I do. And he gives the promise. He gives the promise that because you are short in this area, what God promises to do is that God promises to move into this area and supply what you and I need. And we get to see it on a monthly basis. Let me tell you my own personal experience. Judy and I have been tithers for decades, not just because I'm a minister. But we were tithing. My parents tithe. My father was a well-to-do man, and he would teach me as a child to whatever my allowance was, or when I had a paper route and things like that, to take 10% of it and give it away. Set it aside, give it away. And that has actually become my budgeting process. Now, we teach a course by Dave Ramsey on financial freedom. It is an excellent, excellent, golly sakes, he's a wonderful teacher about financial matters. And he has these envelopes and talks about budgeting and things like that. I have to tell you that really hasn't worked for me. You want to know my budgeting process? I give 10% to the church and I spend the rest. That's my budgeting process. And somehow or another, it works. Now, when I look at the 10% that I give, I'm thinking, wow, that's a lot of money. I could buy a car. I could put it away in savings. I need that money. I mean, I actually have those kind of feelings. But God says, tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I'll make you a deal. You give me that portion, and I will supply you abundantly, exceedingly abundantly, beyond all that you ask or think, for what you give away. Now, we as Christian people are, without a doubt, the most generous of all the people groups on the earth. You compare the other religions of the world, there's nobody as generous as Christian people. We're out there building hospitals, building schools, raise the roof kind of deals. We just do that because God has been so generous with us that it stimulates us and gives us confidence that as we are generous with other people, that God is going to supply us. And it makes us feel good, doesn't it, when we are generous with other people. I have found this to be true. I have never met a former tither. Hear what I say? I have never met a former tither. Once somebody begins tithing, they just see blessings. And things just seem to go better. You feel the hand of God on you. You feel God. You see coincidences happening that are blessings to you. You feel like God is now in charge of your finances. And what it does for me is that since I am now living on less, what I have to do is to bring under discipline all the other expenses that I have. And so I'll tell you just a little clever thing I'm doing. Do any of you have Comcast cable? Yeah, okay. Do you know how much you pay for that thing every month? Yeah, hundred and something. So, being cheap, I decided that I have a neighbor who also has Comcast. And what I'm going to do is go be friendly with my neighbor. That is to say, meet my neighbor and ask if we could share his Comcast cable and split the cost. So I'm going to be saving about $60 a month by doing that. Now, it's that sort of thing, and just a whole lifestyle of trying to reduce the expenses. I was looking at buying a car because my car is a nice car, but it's now 12 years old, and it has more than 250,000 miles on it. Well, the old lady is doing fine, but she's going to die one of these days. And so Judy and I were discussing getting another car. And so far we've decided we're going to ride this thing until the lady dies. Because there's nothing quite like having a free and clear car. No car payments. I don't like car payments. And so we're reducing all of our expenses so that not only can we generously give this amount, but that we have found that as we reduce our expenses, that we can give an ever greater percentage of our income to vital mission causes that will advance the kingdom, that will help and bless people. When I walk through the park over here at Todos Santos, there are always people there that it doesn't take any effort at all to find somebody, you know, who's in trouble and has a need. It's a wonderful experience to be able to reach into my pocket and give them a $10 or a $20 bill to help them out. This, as with a couple of our ladies, and we were talking with, ran into one of our church members, and he had a friend next to him who was trying to get a bus ticket back to the Midwest for some reason. And after he told me his story, I really believed that this guy really did need help. And so I just reached into my pocket, and I wish I had more ones. I didn't. I only had a 20. And so I said, I can get another one. And I pulled out that 20 and gave it to the guy to help him get his bus ticket. And it was a joy to do so. You know, there are lots of people around that just need a little bit of help. We don't have to take over their problems. Let their problems be their problems. We don't have to take them on. But we can help. And we as Christian people want to be at the forefront of taking care of the homeless, of feeding people, taking care of the widows and the orphans. We want to be instrumental and strategic in doing the things that Jesus told us to do. This morning, a bunch of people started the feeding program under the leadership of Rebecca. Rebecca, are you in here this hour? She's probably downstairs. She rounded up a crew of people who started a feeding program for the residents of the towers and the plaza. And best guess is that about 25 people came from the towers over here for breakfast. Had eggs, bacon, and pancakes. And it was fun to be with the people this morning at about 7 o'clock, as they were preparing the food. It was a joy for them to be serving and giving out their time in this fashion to help people. And the people that I sat with at the table were wonderful people, great people. And I really hope that they'll be coming back over the next 3 weeks to help with that. If you want to help serve next week, talk to Rebecca and she'll line you up. We have a couple other things going on. There's a toy barrel, Elder, and the Giving Tree.
For the Giving Tree, we need you to come to the table where Susan Laughlin will be and get a ornament that you can give, either a $25 gift certificate for Safeway for food, or you can get an ornament where you can grab for a couple children and some adults, and so that their Christmas will be blessed as well. And we need the gifts back next week. It's a little earlier than usual, but they're having their party on December 9th.
Yeah, thank you.
Please come and join us over there.
And this is your daughter from Texas, Lori. And aren't you proud of your mom? Yeah. Your mom did a good job on you. And then Elder Dave, you're in charge of the toy barrel.
It's all in your bulletin today, but our barrels are out for the first time today. And this is for the Bay Area Rescue Mission, the Christmas party that they put on every year for underprivileged children. And we've been part of this for many, many years. We're also a drop-off point for all the churches in Concord. So we end up with a lot of toys. And the information, again, is in the bulletin about what kind of gifts to bring.
Thank you.
This will go on for about 3 weeks.
Well, the point of these two events right here is that we want to give you opportunities to be generous. It's just part of the Christian experience is to be helpful. Jesus had these rather radical comments. He says, if you're going down the road and someone comes to you and demands that you give him your outer garment, give him also your shirt. He wasn't just blowing smoke in our face. He really meant it. There's a comment in the Book of Order that governs what we do in the Presbyterian Church, and it has this line in it. It's in the foundational principles of how we govern ourselves. And it says that the church is the body of Christ to give itself wholeheartedly to the needs of the world. And then it has this phrase, comma, at the risk of losing its life. Period. It's a rather bold, radical statement that serves as the foundation for what we do as believers and how we govern ourselves here. And so we don't mind taking on projects like building the towers a generation ago, or buying that porno theater, you know, for the purpose of shutting it down. Can you imagine what Todos Santos Park would be like if that porno theater were still there? I shudder to think. Some of you know it was not a family-friendly place. Now families can go there and be carelessly happy. It's a safe place. It's a desirable, idyllic place. Because of this church taking that bold, generous step to take care of that blight. Now we're involved with a prospect. I don't know if it'll happen or not. Probably not, but where I asked Presbytery for $1 million to buy, acquire some homes from the Naval Weapons Station. And we'll be involved in that. Folks, during this Christmas season, I want you to exercise your charity muscle. I want you to find ways that you can be a blessing in some fashion to some people. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are very grateful. Very grateful for the generosity you have. You are the one that set the pace. You are the one who took the initiative to give us your Son. And Jesus, thank you for coming and putting at risk it all. And you gave it up. So that we could have life. We could have freedom. Lord, now, cause that spirit of generosity to continue inside of us as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Elder Daryl McCullough is coming at this time. Oh, right here. And he's going to share with us his story that's really quite compelling.
Well, I just want to say Pastor Toby covered stewardship on the financial side very well this morning, and we're called to be generous. And generosity means more than money. Generosity means time, sharing your time and your talents. And I'd like to just share a quick testimony on how God is faithful. When you give, he gives back. When I was about 6 years ago or so, a little more than that, 7 years ago, I was asked for the first time to be an elder at the church. And I was very, very busy at work. I worked for AT&T, and I was on one of those jobs that had, you know, 10-hour days, 5 days a week, plus weekend duty every third weekend or so. So I was working a lot, and I just didn't feel like I had time to give to the church to do the job that I thought needed to be done. So I said, no, I can't do it. I don't have time. About a year later, got the knock on the door again, and they asked if I could be an elder. And I was ready with my answer, no, I got no time, right? And Kent Richardson at the time said, well, you know, we got a new pastor. Pastor Bill had just come on board, and he wanted to meet with all the candidates and just pray with them. So I went. I said, okay, I'll go meet with Bill. I'm still going to say no, but, you know, I'll go meet with Bill. I got into Bill's office, and he did something interesting. He said, well, let's just pray on it. And he said, go ahead and take the job. And if after 6 months or so you find you just can't do it because of time, we'll let you resign. No harm, no foul. And here I was thinking, I got it. I got an in. I can say yes, and I can bail. You know, yeah, this is, I'm going to look good for saying yes, but I'm gone, right? Well, guess what happened? It wasn't, but about 2 months later, after we prayed for time, we prayed for God to give me the time to serve, that my 10-hour a day a week job with occasional weekend duty, driving to San Ramon and in commute traffic, got changed. And AT&T moved my job to Oakland, which was a little less of an egregious commute, not that much, but it was 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. So God gave me about 10 hours back in my life. And I thought, okay, this is serious. He wants me to do something with these hours because he doesn't just give. So I stayed on session, which took up some of the time. Being the youth elder and got very involved in the youth program, started singing in the choir. So I was giving back to God the hours that he gave to me. And it started getting tight again. And I didn't know what I was going to do. It was getting, no time to do this, no time to do that. And God responded again to prayer. And he moved my job with AT&T still to a telecommuting job at home. So no more commuting. I got another 10 hours a week back in my, or 10 hours back into my week because God responded to prayer. And I, once again, took that time that he gave and filled it up with the flock, with starting Praise in the Park, with getting involved in Restore, which is a ministry to homeless. So God kept providing. And in January of this year, I was told I had to go back to San Ramon and commute again. And I'm going, oh, Lord, it was so good. Thank you for what you gave me, but I'm going to start cutting things back. And sure enough, he responded again. And I got an office 2 blocks from the church now. God is faithful when you give to God what he's giving to you first. So give your time, give your talents to God. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our money. We give money as a sign of faith. He craves our time and our talents to be used for the advancement of his kingdom. So if you're asked to volunteer your time to serve food on a Sunday, or to, you know, help somebody from the high school with tutoring, or even to be a deacon or an elder in the church, I encourage you to really pray about it, because God will respond. And I'm here to tell you, he did it for me, he'll do it for you. Amen.
Thank you, Elder Darrell. Remember this: a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Let us pray. Gracious God, you called us to let go of the things we cling to and step out in faith, trusting in your love and provision. Give us courage to step out boldly, to plant our small seeds generously and without fear. Use our gifts to accomplish more than we could possibly imagine, so that through us, your kingdom might come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.